Welcome, 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 everyone, to the Fantasy Football Fools Podcast. My name's Jesse. We have Eliseo and Brandon here. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's
What's
it going?
Up?
Week number two in the books. It was a doozy.
And we'll I don't even want to talk about it, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of injuries we'll get into right now. We'll talk about week three matchups, who you should pick up. This episode will come out Tuesday night, probably after you've done your waiver wire pickups, but that's okay. We're going to talk about some guys maybe a little bit deeper that you can go after. But let's get into it. Before that, the fantasyfootballfools.com, fantasyfoolspod on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Hit us up, give us some questions, and we'll try to answer them. And not be a fool about it. All right, let's get into the big one.
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
Injuries.
This really is a big one this week. You're right.
Yeah, and we'll start right off with the one everyone's talking about. Tua Tagovailoa. Concussion number, I don't even know.
It's officially three, I think.
I mean, he's had more in his lifetime. There was a doctor talking about it, how at least five, I think he's admitted to, but probably more than that. Man, there's a lot to unpack there. Breaking it all down real nice and easy. Some people are going as crazy to say that he should retire. Other people are like, it's his decision, yada, yada. Look, hopefully the guy's okay. That's the big thing. Concussions are no joke. I've played football and I know some of those hard hits, and man, I played at a high school level, not the NFL. So obviously he's taken some beatings. I don't know if that's, it's because his body, the way he falls, the way he rushes, but, what do you guys think about the whole situation?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Couple things. First, there's something weird about the way that he gets hit, unlike anybody else. Last year, remember, he had kind of the back-to-back concussions and consecutive games, and you see his head just bouncing off the turf. And this year, same thing. I think it was a 4th-and-3 play, and he was running, and he got the first down, and then all of a sudden, he just, for whatever reason, doesn't slide, doesn't go down, doesn't protect himself. And of all people that he got hit by, it was DeMar Hamlin, which was crazy, just to come full circle on that. But yeah, he just... For whatever reason, he can't seem to protect himself. He gets hit unlike anybody I've ever seen. And so, yeah, super unfortunate. They've announced they put him on the IR, so he'll be out at least the next 4 weeks, which is great. Give him some time to kind of figure it out, talk through it. I think he said he doesn't want to retire. So we'll see what happens. I think the obvious hit is to all the Dolphins skill players. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle obviously take a big hit in that offense. Now they're playing Skylar Thompson at quarterback, so there's a big deficit there, certainly. But again, it's more about Tua and his health and moving forward. If he can be, does he come back? I don't know. And again, it's kind of up to him. He'll figure that out. The medical team will figure that out. So very unfortunate for Tua, and then very unfortunate for the fantasy players around him as well.
So retirement, that's up to him, obviously. But it's just like, if he doesn't, I'm sure people will be upset that the NFL let him continue. But like, there's not really... That's like, they can't kick him out either, right? I mean, they could if they say like, oh, we care about you, but like, it's not really going to fly. I don't think, you know, it's just his decision. Another thing is, that I was thinking about, you know how like you break a ankle or something, you break something, and then for the rest of your life, you feel it. And like, oh, this is where I, especially like when it gets cold or whatever, like, so muscles and joints and bones and all that stuff, like your body kind of remembers the injuries that you have and that you kind of compile along the way. And I'm wondering, like, I'm no neuroscientist, I'm no neurosurgeon, but like, I would imagine the brain is the same way, where like, after, you know, you keep getting hurt, it remembers, you know? So like, is it maybe like you had a couple of bad concussions early on, and then now he's just super susceptible to them because of previous injuries? Like, that's, I don't know, just an interesting like thought, you know?
Yeah,
because he does like, it is weird how you said, Brandon, it's like he gets hit, but in a weird way, but then also he like tends to, you know, get hurt more by right. those also. Yeah, it's weird.
They picked up what, Tyrod Taylor, right?
They picked no. up Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler Huntley.
Huntley. Huntley.
Lamar's backup, yeah. Or he used to yeah. be his backup.
Who I think will do well in this offense. It's the same yeah. kind of same style of player, so.
Yeah, I'm curious how soon he'll be integrated into that offense. I probably not this week. That's probably a little fast, but maybe you see him the week after, or maybe if Thompson struggles, they bring him in. Who knows?
Or maybe he learns like 10, 15 plays and he goes in there for them, and then maybe they do a quarterback swap out every so often or something. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, as a Tyreek owner, I don't know what to think, man. Do you trade him? Do you keep him? What's going to happen? But
I say trade him, Jesse.
I say don't go too crazy. Wait it out. You're not going to get what you want for him if you want to trade him right now. Moving along, Isaiah Pacheco. At first it was ankle. It's fractured fibula, I believe. He is also on the IR. Out at least 4 weeks. And they picked up someone too. Who'd they pick up?
Kareem Hunt signed with.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. Yeah.
LSAO's boy for years and years. Yeah, it was interesting. Week one felt like there weren't any injuries. And then week two, we just got crushed with them. So Pacheco, again, probably a top 10 to 12 running back at the start of the season. Obviously on a good offense there. So you hate to see that. I think the diagnosis was, 6 to 8 weeks. So we're looking at probably a couple months. Which puts you at week 10 or week 11, so that's a long time to kind of sit somebody on your bench. But again, replacement options are going to be Carson Steele, Samaje Perine, and Kareem Hunt. So curious to see what that looks like. That spells running back by committee to me. Not sure I want anybody there. Carson Steele may be the goal line guy, so maybe he's valuable. But again, the Chiefs do such weird things at the goal line anyways, who knows. But again, three guys there, not sure I want any of them. And you know, maybe an upgrade to the passing offense as they throw the ball a little bit more.
Joe Mixon ankle. The last I heard, he was supposed to get an MRI. I didn't hear anything as of yesterday, and I haven't checked today. Any word that you know of?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. It was one of the hip drop tackles that they've been talking about, kind of a point of emphasis this year. So we'll see what happens. Backups there are Cam Akers kind of came in because Damian Pierce was a healthy scratch, or not healthy, it was an injured scratch. So Cam Akers could potentially be in line for some work. Again, another good offense that you may want a piece of. So Cam Akers probably the pickup there if Joe Mixon is to miss any time.
Justin Jefferson, thigh bruise, but he said he'll be fine. He had a heck of a game. That 97-yard touchdown was just ridiculous. But something to monitor. I mean, even a thigh bruise, that's got to hurt. That's got to do something to you. But he is Justin Jefferson, so I wouldn't worry too much. But you should maybe worry about Cooper Kupp, because he was in a walking boot at the end of the game, and that doesn't bode well.
I think he's either on IR or he's on his way to the IR.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been officially made yet, but yeah, I think he's out multiple weeks for sure. Possible yeah. IR stint. So yeah, definitely tough break after that huge week one that they had. And again, they got Puka Nacua out as well. He is on IR. Cooper Kupp potentially going there. Just a major hit to the Rams offense.
Deebo Samuel, calf. Will miss a couple of weeks. These are all big, big name players.
Certainly. And it looks like, he's probably 2 to 3 weeks. I'm trying to pull up the Niners schedule. I feel like they have an early bye, so it could potentially be something like a week five bye.
I think it's 5 or 6 or something.
So those are, they're not week five. It could be week six. But those are some of the times where you may take that extra week.
It's 9. It's 9, late. Yeah.
Yeah, this is another player I was thinking of that had a week five bye. But those are sometimes where you may just take that extra week to rest, because why play him 1 week and then get another week off anyway to take the extra week? Not the case there. But again, not on the IR, but probably expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks in San Francisco. So Jawan Jennings steps up to wide receiver 2. Interesting pickup, I think, potentially for that offense. Brock Purdy currently leads the NFL in passing yards. Brandon Ayuk still kind of getting back to speed. So Jawan Jennings could be an interesting fill-in for the next couple weeks.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, cramping and a contusion, seems to be okay, but something to monitor moving forward. And then lastly, I want to talk about the Ravens and Texas chain gang. Because on the sidelines over there, we had two members of the chain gang. One of them had to have CPR, and the other one might have a concussion himself. So, yeah, even on the sidelines, watch out.
Can I? Yeah, this might be my mini rant for the episode. Two issues with this. First of all, why is there like 80-year-old white men being on the chain gang? Yeah, nope. There's no reason for that. Second thing is, they already tried the technology in the preseason. Like, put the chip in the ball. Like, this is 2024. There's way too much technology. There's way too much error on spotting the ball. Like, let's put a chip in there so we always know where it is. We always know if it's a first down, so we can stop getting these, you know, grandpas hurt, because they're the most unathletic people in the world, and you're putting them on a field with the most athletic people in the world. Like, what are we doing here? What's the point of this?
I was talking to Jesse about it just last night. Yeah. We were talking about it, and I was saying, I think I figured it out. It's like all these older retired guys that like football, they don't need a job. They're just, and they're like, oh, we could just do it, you know, a couple times a year or whatever, you know, 6-8 times a year tops when they're playing in their home city or whatever. We looked up the pay rate for these guys. They're making like maybe $100 a game. Right. So it's just old guys that are like, I'll go to a game for free because they don't need the money. So like they're not going to find like able-bodied people that want to get paid $100 a game for 8 weeks, you know, and then that's it. So
it's ludicrous. It's like
just pay people like a good rate, even if it's just for the day. There's a lot of people that are off on weekends that would love to do it, you know. And it's like, yeah, like let's stop hurting all these old guys. It's just elder abuse. Yeah, it's terrible. Anyways, I joined you on the rant for that one. Yeah. It's like, come on, NFL, you make plenty of money. Just pay a guy, you
put
know.
Put a chip in the ball, let's be honest. Like,
or that, yeah.
Let's move on to some fantasy top players.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. These guys were good.
Oh, that was
They
new.
Were
okay.
Very, very good. this guy was great, and I'm glad that I played Brandon this week. I'm glad that you kept him on the bench. Kyler Murray, 32 fantasy points, 17 for 21 through the air, 266, 59 yards rushing, and 3 touchdowns. That Arizona offense looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's what we talked about in the preseason. They're going to be in a lot of high-scoring games. They scored a lot of points this week, didn't give up a lot because the Rams got hurt, but their offense is going to score points. Their defense is normally going to give up points. We said get a piece of that Arizona offense. We like everything they're doing there. Kyler Murray was great, and he will no longer be on my bench moving forward. He is my new QB1.
Until that new video game comes out in a few weeks,
Call
right?
of Duty, watch out.
The new Call of Duty is coming out, I think. I don't know.
It is.
Sometime soon.
I think it's like October 6th or something.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's done.
Yeah, that's it. So enjoy it while it lasts.
This guy has also been great through the first 2 weeks of the season. Quarterback from New Orleans, Derek Carr, 24 fantasy points, only 11 for 16, but 243 yards and 1 yard rushing because he had 2 touchdowns through the air and 1 little tush push of his own QB sneak there at the end zone. Man, makes you want to wish that the Raiders kept him. But you know what? That new offensive coordinator from San Francisco, he's doing something good over there.
Yeah, it's definitely like he's doing a good job with Derek. And also, like, when was the last time you saw Derek Carr have that much fun? It was the year that he broke his leg. Like that year where they were doing so well, they were like just destroying everyone.
Going to the playoffs and he got hurt.
They were going, and then he got hurt. Yeah, he got hurt like what, 2 games before the playoffs or something. Yeah,
something like
and
that.
then they lost in the first round. But yeah, no, that year was really awesome for him, and he hasn't played like that since then. Maybe a couple of years ago, like the year that Gruden got fired, you could say like they were doing a little bit better. But no, man, not at the level that he's playing out that he's playing right now.
Yeah, and we saw him do it the first week, but it was against Carolina. Nobody really thought anything of it. But this week at Dallas, that's a good defense. They came out and just looked awesome. I saw a stat that the first 2 weeks, they scored on their first 15 possessions. They were 15 for 15 and getting points on their possessions, which is unbelievable. So I'm buying Derek Carr. They've looked incredible. I think he's a worthwhile pickup in leagues where you may need a quarterback.
Yeah,
I like that I've seen so far. So, yeah, Derek Carr, definitely a buy for me.
And I mean, how about that that little Michael Jackson in the end zone there?
That's what I was talking about. He's like, yeah. You never see him have fun like that. So it's right. Good to see. Good for him. Yeah.
Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., 26 fantasy points. Sometimes we say these rookies take a while to break out. Not for him. Him and Kyler connected 4 catches, 8 targets, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I know you liked him before the season, Brandon. I'm sure you like him even more now.
Yeah, he's coming off a 1-catch-for-4-yard performance in week 1. And then I think he did all that in like the first quarter. He went ballistic. Yeah, I really like him. Again, we love this Arizona offense. They're going to produce. He's super talented. Just, again, it's one of those like week 1 things. Don't overreact. I think we'll talk about some more rookie receivers who had good days later in the program. But yeah, Marvin Harrison, love that offense for him. I think he's going to be great. And, you know, we've seen what he's capable of doing just this last week.
Calvin Ridley, Tennessee wide receiver, 20 fantasy points, 4 catches, 6 targets, 1 rush, 77 yards through the air, 10 on the ground, 2 total touchdowns. Calvin Ridley doing Calvin Ridley things. He's still got it, right?
Calvin Ridley. Go ahead.
Even with that court. No, I was just going to say with that quarterback play, I'm surprised.
Although I feel like we saw this last year from Trevor Lawrence. He had a first hot couple weeks. I think also you had him, and then he kind of tailed off after that. So we'll see if he can keep this up moving forward.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that we talked about it last year, how I expected him to kind of take that step forward, and he just didn't, you know. So this year I had no confidence in him, and, you know, like so far I guess he's doing okay, so we'll see. But I wouldn't go around, like I wouldn't go after him at the moment.
Running back Alvin Kamara, this guy went ballistic. Talk about balls to the wall. 20 rushes, 2 receptions, 115 yards through the air, 65 on the ground, 4 touchdowns, and 42 fantasy points.
Yeah, woo! How'd that work out for you, Eliseo?
Well, between him and Marvin Harrison Jr., it was not good for me. Do you guys, I told you the story, Brandon.
I heard the story. I'm not sure I believe it, but I heard it.
That's exactly what happened. So for everybody else, I went out Saturday night for a friend's birthday, and I didn't get to bed till really late, which normally I'm fine. So I set my alarm, and it was super late. I think I went to bed at like 4 in the morning. My alarm goes off at like 9 in the morning. I wake up, and I think, why did I set an alarm? I got nowhere to be today. I got nothing to do. And I turned off my alarm and went back to sleep. Like, just what? Didn't check my lineup. Didn't know nothing. Just turned it off. Went back to sleep. I wake up. It's 10:30. And I hear the TV is already on with the games on. And I was like, oh, my God. So I, you know, check everything real quick. And the first thing I see is A.J. Brown is out. Now, he doesn't play till Monday, but I still need to replace him. So I go to my lineup, checking the bench to see what's up. All my guys have started playing. Everyone except one. So he's the only choice I have to do it. Like, he's the only option I have. Luckily, I think I had moved him to my flex spot. And so I was able to, because I was like, oh, he might be out or, you know, whatever. I think they said he was hurt, but they didn't say he was out. So I put him in my flex. And then I realized that I had Kamara on my bench, but he had already started. He had already scored a touchdown by the time I woke up, actually. I looked and I'm like, Harry scored a touchdown. Great. And the only guy I had left that I could replace him with was Swift. And we know how great Swift in Chicago is doing. So I was like instantly just mad at myself. So anyways, I threw Swift in there and I was still doing okay because my defense played on Thursday and I was supposed to do great. And then get to the TV, Marvin Harrison Jr. is first touchdown, second touchdown, and he just keeps going, and I'm like, well, now I'm in trouble now. And yeah, I would have won with Kamara, but I lost because I was asleep, so that's cool. that's my story.
So when we say don't be a fool, this is what we're talking about, guys. Don't be a fool. That's... get up and check your lineups, make sure make sure they're set, make sure you're good to go. Running back James Cook, 26 fantasy points, 11 rushes, 1 reception, 78 and 17 respectively on the ground, 3 touchdowns total. James Cook over there in Buffalo. And I think it wasn't a high scoring game, right?
That was the Thursday night game when they beat Miami and Tua got his concussion. So they were up big, but yeah.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
Cook looked great.
And then tight end of the week, George Kittle, 13 fantasy points. That's your tight end, 7 receptions, 76 yards and a touchdown. Tight ends were not really crazy. It's kind of just you get what you get. It's a kind of even playing field if you have one of those top guys.
So there were
I mean top of the week, not supposed to be top.
I was just going to say that it's crazy that we're back to a couple of years ago where it was like a dead zone. The one guy you could trust was Travis Kelce. But this year, and then it became Kelce, Laporta, Andrews, you know, like they started coming on. But this year, it's like nobody. You can't. It's just completely dead.
Well, I was going to say, we had 3 tight ends score in double figures this week. George Kittle, Hunter Henry, and then Trey McBride. And only the reason Trey McBride is in there, James Conner fumbled going into the end zone. McBride just recovered it. Got 6 points for that. So even he would have been in single figures had he not recovered the fumble.
And he was also on the team that I was playing against. So everything just went wrong for me this weekend. It was awesome. I love football.
So real quick, here's the tight ends, top tight ends through the first 2 games. Isaiah Likely, 20 fantasy points. And I think 18 of those points were in week 1. He had 2 last week. George Kittle, 17 points. Trey McBride, 15. And then a guy that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, Brock Bowers, is number 4 at 14 fantasy points. So 3 of those guys, well, 2 of those guys you had up there, but Isaiah Likely and Brock Bowers definitely did not expect that good through 2 weeks, only 2 weeks.
If you look at like individual weeks for Likely, it wasn't great. Like he was good week 1. Yeah,
he was great week 1. Then even week 2, Mark Andrews came back, played more snaps. He got more work. So then you're not really sure what to do there either.
And Austin Siebert was our kicker of the week with 22 fantasy points, 6 PATs. What? 6?
He had 6 field goals.
6 field goals, yes.
So this is my favorite. Game of the weekend was the Giants and the Commanders. The Giants lost the game. They scored 3 touchdowns. They did not give up any touchdowns, and they lost the game. That's my favorite thing of the weekend. They gave up like 6 or 7 field goals. Yeah, and then they had a kicker who didn't play, so they couldn't kick extra points, so they got stuck on 18. Oh, that's incredible. It's only the second time in history that's happened.
And defense of the week, Buffalo, 22 points, 10 points allowed, 2 sacks, 3 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 4 fourth down stops. They were pretty good.
That's how my week started. I was cruising until Sunday morning.
On the other side.
Oh, son of a, that's going to leave a mark.
Fantasy face plants. I'm going to have to dig a little deep. I got some of them here, but Matthew Stafford, 1 fantasy point, 216 yards, 5 sacks and a lost fumble. Didn't look too good. Obviously, Cooper Kupp was out. Puka Nacua's out. Who are you going to throw to over there? Rough time for the Rams. And here's another one. We talked about James Cook, but Josh Allen only had 11 fantasy points. That's not what you're looking for if he's your quarterback. 139-1 with 1 sack. You're worried? I don't think anyone's worried, right?
No.
Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, 3 fantasy points. This is classic Tyreek. I mean, obviously Tua got hurt, but even if he didn't, this can be Tyreek. He can get you a crazy good game or a crazy bad game. So 24 yards through the air, 12 on the ground. That was it for him. Ja'Marr Chase,
3 fantasy points. 0 arrests this week for Tyreek.
0 arrests.
Didn't get arrested or pulled over as far as we know.
But just more body cam footage coming out. Ja'Marr Chase, 3 fantasy points, 4 catches, 35 yards. That was all you got there. You're worried about Ja'Marr Chase? He's one. The Bengals, man. What's going on with them?
There, we talked about it last week. They're a slow starter. This is, and for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that this was a preseason game too, you know? So especially with Ja'Marr not practicing and stuff. So it's just, it'll be fine, but it's not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool, man. Just get it done.
Best case scenario when you're 0-2, you haven't played well, is go play the Washington Commanders. That's who they play this week. Worst defense in the league. It's a get right game for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase this week.
Yeah.
Any more? I'm trying to look up some more here. Ooh.
I mean, you could throw in Jared Goff. I think he got like 9 points or something. And again, same thing. It's like second week. Sam Laporta still trash. Just a lot. I feel like a lot of quarterbacks are just not doing great. A lot of the quarterbacks you expect big things from aren't doing anything, and then you have Baker Mayfield and Carr going off.
So. Yeah, so speaking of quarterbacks, too, I think we've seen just the downward trend in offense recently. So I actually pulled these numbers, too. So through the first 2 weeks of the season, there's been 69 touchdown passes this year. Last year, through 2 weeks, there was 86. 2 years ago, there was 105. So, I mean, we're essentially 35 passing touchdowns short of where we were 2 years ago. So there's just less offense. Quarterbacks are throwing for less than 200 yards a game. They're averaging 193 passing yards a game through 2 weeks this year. So it's just, we're seeing lower passing numbers. We're seeing a little bit increase in the rush. But yeah, for the most part, touchdowns are down. So quarterback points are down as we're talking about.
A couple of running backs here. DeAndre Swift got you 3 fantasy points, 91% rostered over there. You have Zamir White. We talked about him last week. Zamir White, 3 fantasy points again, 86% rostered. So that's troubling. And then lastly, I'll throw in there, Rashad White, 98% rostered, got you 1 fantasy point. But he is questionable. I'm not sure if there was an injury there that we kind of missed. But yeah, not good, there. We talked about tight ends. Who's the worst? Well, Kyle Pitts, people were high on him this year. He got 2 fantasy points. Thank goodness, because I beat Brandon, with Kyle Pitts. I don't know how, but it happened.
Because the Eagles are dumb and they don't run the ball and they throw it and Barkley drops the first down. So, all right, you ranted about your loss. I'm going to rant about my loss a little bit here. Going into Monday night, I think I was up 11 points and you had Koo and Pitts. So I didn't think I was going to win. Like, I didn't think there was a chance. And then the game just went perfectly for me. Like, absolutely perfect. Couple field goals here. Pitts had nothing forever. And then they're... The Eagles are about to run out the clock and they get first down after first down. I'm like doing the math in my head. 3rd and 3, 1:40 to go. Atlanta has no timeouts left and they throw that ball to Barkley that he drops. And I get it. If he catches it, gets the first down, they take a knee, the game's over. But just run the ball. Run the ball. You've run the ball all game. It's 3rd and 3. Even if you get a yard or 2, you can still go for it. Like, oh, so frustrating. So that was a tough way to lose. Then they come back and Pitts gets a catch to tie it. And then they score. And then there's like a penalty, so the extra points even further. We're tied at this point. He has the kicker, and he kicks the 48-yard extra point to win by 1.
Oh. It was so great because I was just hoping for a tie at the end there. I was like, damn it, what's going to happen? Like, he needed 11 yards, Pitts did, and he got like exactly 11 yards, which got me the 2 points. And we tied it. I'm like, oh, all right, cool, we're going to tie. I forgot about the extra point. And then I just remembered. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to win.
Yeah, I should have got drunk Saturday night. I'd rather lose that way.
It's you know what? It's a lot easier to take because you're like, well, I did it to myself. But like with this, it's funny because Jesse and I were watching the game together last night. And it was like the start of the 3rd quarter. I'm like, oh, yeah, you only need 2 points and you got a whole half. Like, you're going to get it, no problem. And then it was the end of the 3rd quarter. And I look at him and I was like, hey, man, you still need 2 points. And you're running out of time. And then I was like, man, what if he doesn't get it? I'm like, all he needs is 1 play, you know? But it was like, well, who knows what's going to happen? And went right down to the end. So
literally.
Yeah.
All right. What is next? Let's move away from fantasy faceplants. Basically, all tight ends can be faceplants. There's a couple of good ones in there, but just kind of, you know, shoot your shot on those guys, maybe play the matchup. We're going to talk about some waiver wire pickups, maybe some guys you might want to keep your eye on. that could help you win next week. And anybody want to talk about anybody specific, or you want me to just go down the line here?
You can go down the line. We kind of mentioned the guys for Pacheco, like it's going to be a committee. It seems like it's going to be a committee. If you really need a guy and you want to take a shot, what was the consensus was Steele, I think.
Carson Steele, yeah.
Carson Steele. And then, I mean, if you really need somebody, just put them in order. Steele. Then would you do Hunt or would you do
Perrine? I don't know. I honestly,
that's
I don't
kind of a toss up, right?
It's like any of them, to be quite honest. Yeah.
I mean, one, they could go with one, like if one stands out, like then, but like, yeah, it's just kind of like throwing a dart at this point. If you want to go for it, if you need it, or if you have the room, go for it. But other than that, I mean, it's that's that one's a tough call. Tua, we talked about how they picked up,
Tyler Huntley,
Joe Mixon. What do we say? Cam Akers for Mixon.
Yeah.
He did have a fumble already, which isn't great.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the risk there.
Damian Pierce was out with an injury, so he could play into that as well.
Yeah. Justin Jefferson, I think he's going to be okay. But yeah. Cooper Kupp, who are the receivers? Like, is it Robinson still?
So yeah, DeMarcus Robinson's probably the Rams receiver you want. Even last year, the last 4 weeks of the season, he caught a touchdown all 4 weeks. He's a top 20 receiver. That was with Kupp and Nacua both playing. He was still a top 20 receiver. So he's probably the guy there. But their offensive line is so banged up, too. You're a little worried. Other receivers, Tyler Johnson, Jordan Whittington is the other guy on the Rams. So, again, they're going to still throw. McVay's a great coach. They'll do something. But you probably see a lot more, you know, Kyren Williams and maybe checking the ball down a little bit. So those are some of the Rams guys to look out for.
I don't think you guys mentioned there. Antonio Gibson from the Patriots, 32% available, possibly something to look at. I mean, nobody wants anybody from the Patriots. But, you know, we're in an eight-man league. There's some other people that are in deeper leagues out there, so some stuff to look at. Did you talk about Braylon Allen?
Talk about him. Yeah, he's the backup for the Jets, and he got two touchdowns last week. Their offense is still coming along, but he's looked really good. He's 20 years old, youngest player in the NFL, and he's like 235 pounds. He's a bowling ball. He's fast. Again, he got two touchdowns last week while playing alongside Breece Hall, so I think they're going to continue to get him some more work. So again, he's a guy that if you have Breece Hall, you should probably have Braylon Allen just as a handcuff. But he does provide some standalone value, as you saw last week with the two touchdowns.
Quentin Johnson from the Chargers, 41% rostered. Looked good last week. I think he's kind of coming into his own. And again, Chargers, you know, who knows what's going on there. They've kind of been up and down, but someone to keep an eye on. I think he could be sneaky good play there. And then, of course, we talked about him, Derek Carr. If he continues what he's doing, you know, he's really not going to get you, I think, those top crazy weeks because Kamara's there. They do a lot of running, a lot of different kind of plays. But he's definitely he has a nice floor, I guess. Yeah. Good. We're feeling good. So. Time to pick up some people. All right. Let me get out of here. I can't see you guys. All right. There you are. Weekly matchups. Every week we talk about weekly matchups. And week two, Brandon, it was, you know, this is your chance to get rid of that 0-5 score. Because going into week two, you were 0-5 and me and Alessio were 3-2. Well, let's just get into the games for last week. We had Buffalo at Miami. Miami was favored by 2.5 points. And Eliseo, you picked Buffalo to win. Me and Brandon picked Miami. And Buffalo destroyed them 31-10.
Destroyed.
Yeah. So well done, Eliseo. Can you make it two in a row? Let's see. Tampa Bay at Detroit was the next game. Detroit by 7 points, over and under of 51.5. Did not come anywhere close to that over and under. me, or no, I'm sorry, Brandon and Eliseo picked Detroit. I picked Tampa Bay, which I was not really super happy about, but I thought it could be done, and it was done because Tampa Bay actually beat them 20-16. Who would have thunk? I get the point. Rams at...
I'm 0-7, by the way, if anyone's counting at home.
Rams at Cardinals. Cardinals by 1.5 points. Brandon, you picked Arizona. You went against me and Alseo, and you won 41-10. They lit it up. So you're 1-7. Cincinnati at Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 6 points. I picked Kansas City. You both picked Cincinnati. And Cincinnati did not win, but they covered the 6 points. They almost
won. They should have won.
Dumb pass interference.
No. You know what? Let me talk about another play before that. Do you remember the play where Mahomes was halfway down getting sacked and he kind of just launched the ball to his left? I think it was, it must have been Pacheco, because it was like somebody right there. It was like the guy came and he just, as he was going down, he just kind of lobbed it. And then whoever caught it and ran and got a first down on that play. And nobody talked about it. They didn't show, like, even the commentators, nobody said anything on that play. The guy that was taking him down had an arm around his neck as he was grabbing him. So it's like, that should have been a sack or a holding call that would have pushed them back, but instead they got another first down. So it's just like,
right. It's hard to always happen.
Always. Picks, so. Yeah. So that happened and nobody said anything. There was no call. Like, even the guy who was being choked didn't say anything. And I'm like, what? Like, he probably didn't notice. I don't even know, but it was a, go back and look at that play. It was very obvious and I can't believe there was no call. And then at the end, the typical stuff that happens. So it's really obvious now. It's kind of annoying.
But it's crazy, like 4th and 16, and it's an obvious, like, they have to call pass interference. It certainly was, but you're just like, no one else, like, in any other game, nobody commits pass interference there. But against the Chiefs, the other team always does the dumb things, right? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Lastly, Chicago at Houston. Houston favored by 7 points. This was a tough one for Brandon because me and Alseo picked Houston, and Brandon said, ooh, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to go with Chicago. And... you know, it paid off. 19-13, Houston won, but definitely did not cover that spread. So all in all, last week I was 1-4. LSA was 2-3, and Brandon coming back with 3-2.
Won the week, baby.
Won the week. But Brandon, you're still in last.
That's okay.
3-7.
I'm closer.
3-7, I'm 4-6, and LSA, you are 500 at 5-5. That's all going to change because I got some matchups right here. This week, these are interesting matchups, but you know, I thought we'd kind of mix it up and do some good, some bad, and some ugly. So we have New England at New York Jets. They're both 1-1. The Jets are favored by 6.5 points, and the over and under is 38.5. Who wants to start off? I guess I can start it off here. I don't even know who I want to pick because I do not like either of these teams. But you know what? The Jets have Mr. A-Rod over there, Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Who hasn't looked great.
Who has not looked great. Yep. And New England has looked better, but still not great. I think this is going to be kind of crazy, but I think the Jets are going to be put in their place and New England's going to win. And the Jets are going to be like, what the heck is going on with us right now? We don't know. We got to figure it out.
Okay. Brandon?
New England.
Okay. So you're taking New England plus the points. Okay. this is an ugly game. This is a Thursday nighter. As you mentioned, Rodgers hasn't looked great. The Jets barely beat a okay Tennessee team last week. I think this is the start of something, I'm hoping, because again, the Jets, I have them in the Super Bowl. This is an ugly game. New England's played both opponents tough that they've started out so far. Ah, I hate to do this, but I'm taking the Jets. Give me the Jets -6.5, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't feel good about any of this either. I have no faith in the Jets, though, from the beginning, I've told you guys. And New England's doing okay, but I don't know if they're going to keep it up, because I don't know how they're doing it. But with all that said, I still have zero faith in the Jets. So I'm going to go New England plus the points.
Love it.
Brandon's comeback or fallback.
I'm on a 3-game winning streak. You know, I'm hot right now.
Next up, the Philadelphia Eagles at the New Orleans Saints. I am interested in this game for sure. I was talking to Elsa last night. I think Philly has a good offense, not so good of a defense. I think New Orleans is probably pretty similar. They're both 2-0. Philly is favored by 2.5 points, and this is the highest over under of the week at 48.5 points. Brandon?
Yeah, I'll kick us off here. Yeah, this is a tough one. Are the Saints for real? How did the Eagles bounce back after that tough Monday night loss? Now they're coming in on a short week, but they're still favored on the road. So this is a tough one. I am going to take – this is Philly -2.5, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take the Saints at home plus the 2.5 points.
Yeah, there's a lot of new Michael Jackson moves going on down in New Orleans. It's like good energy. So the new system was working really well. Philadelphia is not looking great. So I'm going to go with the momentum, and I'm also going to go with New Orleans.
Well, I mean, it's no fun if all three of us go for New Orleans, right? Look, I think New Orleans is on a streak right now, and it's going to be a high scoring game. I do believe that this is finally going to live up to that 48.5 points. But you know, I think Philly is going to get it done. At least they should, because I need to beat you guys. So go Philly.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
Los Angeles Chargers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. These are two bad teams, right? No, they're both 2-0. Believe it or not, Pittsburgh favored by 2.5 points. This is the lowest over and under of the week at 36 points. Eliseo?
Yeah, this is another terrible, terrible game that, man, it sucks. They're both 2-0, but if you guys have watched them, you know how bad these are. I think this is going to be one of those games that's really low scoring. Also, obviously, the over-under is 36. It's probably going to be less than that. And it's going to be like the game last night where it's going to be like a point or two. So give me the Chargers plus the points.
All right, Chargers for Eliseo. Man, this is a horrible, horrible game. Look, I want Pittsburgh to win, being a Raiders fan, obviously. I do think the Chargers, new head coach, they're kind of getting into the swing of things. I think Quentin Johnson is just developing over there. I think that they're probably going to but Pittsburgh is favored. Man.
2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers.
There you go, Brandon. There's your layup.
This is tough. I was going to take the Chargers had I had the first or second pick. I'm still going to take the Chargers. I think they can win the game, certainly. So if you're going to give me 2.5 points, I'll take it. I just think Justin Fields can't make the clutch throws that Justin Herbert can make. So I think Chargers have a better chance of scoring more points. Again, it's going to be low scoring, good defenses, a lot of field goals. I just think Justin Herbert makes more plays than Justin Fields with his arms. So I'll take the Chargers and the points.
So not because never mind. I was going to say, so not because of Jesse's excuse earlier was like, oh, because I'm picking them, so they have to win? Not for that reason?
No.
Okay.
You didn't know that rule? That's a rule. Yeah, okay. You weren't aware of that? Hey, at least I wake up on time in the morning. I don't know. Set my lineup. All right. The Las Vegas Raiders lost to the Chargers in week one, but then they beat Baltimore this past week. So what's going to happen when you have Carolina at Las Vegas? Carolina is 0-2. Las Vegas is 1-1. And Las Vegas is favored by 7 points with an over and under of 38. Oh, it's me again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Wonderful. Great. Look, this the Raiders should win this game, right? That's like with what we saw last week, they should win this game. But hold on. There's a quarterback changeover at Carolina. What's going to happen there? Look, I think this could go either way. I think the Raiders are still trying to figure out who they are. I think Carolina is just not good. If anybody can destroy themselves, it's the Raiders. But they're not going to this week. I'm taking the Raiders with the 7 points. Let's do it.
Gosh, yeah, this is just an ugly game that I don't even want to watch at all. You mentioned the quarterback change. The Red Rifle is in, Andy Dalton. Again, the Raiders coming off a huge win in Baltimore. I think this is a letdown game for them. Don't like doing this, but give me Carolina plus the 7.
That is insane. So
that's how bad Bryce Young was. Andy Dalton is competent.
He is, yeah, he's better, yes. I still don't like it. I mean, they'll do better, but did you guys see during this week's Raider game, did you see when Crosby grabbed Mustache Man and was like, we got you, man. I think it was, he did something stupid. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but he grabbed him and it was like hyping him up. And he's like, we got you. We'll get you and you handle business afterwards. And you could see how he was like, oh, dang. He was like really appreciative. I don't think anybody's ever treated him that way before. There's something, you know, I mean, for good reason, I guess, but I feel like his confidence is down, and now having such a crappy start with the Raiders, it's not any better until that moment. And then the fact that they were actually able to win the game, that says a lot for his confidence and for the energy in the locker room, the energy on the field. I think that they're excited, and for the first time after going out to Baltimore and winning that game away, I think they're going to come home and be excited and just be so pumped and so energized that they're going to go destroy Carolina, just because it's the first time that they're going to feel like they're having a good time. It's like before, it's like, oh, we got to go and play and prove to people, and you know, and now it's like they're still going to go and play like as hard as they can and all that stuff. They're not going to lose any of that, but it's the first time that I think we're going to see that team have a good time. Like we talked about earlier about Derek Carr, like that hasn't been a good time with that team in so long. And I think that this week, because it's Carolina, it's a good time. It's finally going to come through. It's going to show, and they're going to have a good time playing, and you're going to see a lot of smiles because it's going to be a blowout over the Panthers.
All right. So you're taking Vegas.
Yes.
Just making sure. Last but not least, Baltimore at Dallas. Baltimore by 1 point. Over and under of 47.5.
I think I'm up first, so let's see here. Baltimore 0-2. This is a must-win game for them, coming off of that terrible Raiders loss. They need to go into Dallas and get the job done. You don't want to be 0-3 trying to make the playoffs in the AFC. So give me Baltimore in a must-win game.
Yeah, I unfortunately have to agree with Brandon. But yeah, Baltimore is like in a really bad spot, as are the Cowboys. But going back to what Brandon was saying earlier about quarterbacks, I think Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. So I think that's going to be the extra oomph that they need. They're both really hungry after what just happened to both these teams. So they're both going to be going really hard, but I think that Baltimore is going to win this game. So I'm going with Baltimore.
You guys are going to make me do it, huh? You just wanted me to pick Dallas.
Top five.
No, look, I mean, it's 1 point, so you're picking who's going to win the game. I think it could go either way. I think you're right. Baltimore should win this game with the way that they started. They need something. They need to show up. They need to play. They need to win. Let's say they don't. Let's take Dallas. And Baltimore is 0-3. Man, imagine that. That's going to be crazy. We'll see what happens next week. You guys ready for it? The moment we all love. The moment we're always waiting for. Let's do it. You get your balls to the wall. Balls to the wall. This is where we pick the players that are going to go all out. They're going to go crazy. They're going to get your points. They're going to get your yards. They're going to get your touchdowns. They're going to win your week. Did they do that last week? Let's start with LSAO. LSAO, you had Gus Edwards. You said he's going to do 52 yards. That's it, just 52 yards. And get you two touchdowns. Well, guess what? He said, screw your 52 yards. I'm doing 59 yards, but not scoring any touchdowns. So he went to the wall. But
you know what? It was the right call on that game. But I expected a lot more. And even Dobbins only scored once. I was like, okay, well, maybe Dobbins will get it all, you know. And Dobbins did, what, over 100 yards and a touchdown? Like 100 and, I don't know, something. Just over 100 yards and a touchdown. And I thought there'd be a lot more touchdowns, and they weren't. So it's just the Chargers aren't firing on all cylinders, and I don't think they're going to for a while. So, unfortunately.
So real quick, through two games, Chargers, Gus Edwards, 29 carries, 85 yards.
That's the thing. It's like he's getting the work.
2.9 yards per carry, yeah.
29 yeah, carries. That's his problem, yeah.
J.K. Dobbins, 27 carries, so two less, but 266 yards for about 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's time to. Yeah, I think I don't think if you're hanging on to Gus, I think it's time to let him go. It's not worth it unless Dobbins get hurt, which like he could get hurt.
He's got hurt like every year of his career. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're thinking if you want to wait around for that, that's fine. But even when Gus does play, it's not going to be great. I mean, maybe he'll get better, but I don't know, man. It's not looking good.
All right. Who did I pick last week? I picked Justin Fields with that quarterback change. I said he's going to get you 413 total yards and three touchdowns. He was going to have himself a week, and he got like a third of that. He got 144 yards total and one touchdown. Not quite the balls to the wall we expected, but that's okay. I'm going to make it up to you guys this week, all right? Brandon, last week you said Malik Nabers was going to have 8 catches for 130 yards and a touchdown. He had 10 catches for 127 yards and a touchdown. Well done. Well done. That is what we're talking about. That is balls to the wall right there.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. He had 18 targets also, which is crazy. Oh, 18 yes. targets. All right. This week, who do you guys got for your balls to the wall player?
Want me to go first?
Yeah, I have three guys written down, so I'm hoping one of you guys takes one of them or something. So
okay,
I probably won't. I don't think anybody would.
No,
ever
mine are
think...
pretty deep. I don't think anybody's taking mine.
Okay, yeah, no, probably not. I'm gonna go with a big surprise here. Even for me, I actually hate doing this, but you know, balls to the wall, baby. So this week, I'm gonna go with one Mister. I can't even say it.
Gus Edwards.
Gardner Minshew.
Oh, wow.
So this week he was 30 for 38 with 276 yards and one touchdown. And now, we talked about it earlier, he's going up against Carolina, who obviously is probably the worst team in the league. So my prediction is that he's going to go 300 yards and three passing touchdowns. That's what I'm going to give it.
All right. All right.
Gardner Minshew. It's all about that confidence, man.
It's all about the stash.
And the word I'm playing against Carolina doesn't hurt.
Okay. So I had a couple guys as well, but I'm going to go with this guy. I think he's been getting better every week. Let me look at the game log. No, actually he had a better first week than the last week, but still doing well. He did well both weeks. Only 3 receptions the first week, only 5 receptions the second week, a touchdown in both weeks. We're talking about Alec Pierce from the Colts. He's playing Chicago, which is kind of a tougher matchup, but I'm saying he's going to go for 88 total yards and 2 touchdowns this week. He is becoming the deep threat guy over there, and I think you're going to see more of that this week.
Okay. I'm going to go to the tight end wasteland for my pick this week. I think he's going to be the number one tight end of the week. He's going to go for 6 catches, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's the tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals. Give me Mike Gesicki. 6 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, tight end 1 this week.
All right.
All right. You heard it.
Who else
first?
Did you have on that list?
For the fans
honorable
at home,
mentions. Yeah,
so I had Greg Dortch, Arizona wide receiver. He's their slot receiver. They're playing Detroit. Detroit gave up a big game to Cooper Kupp, a big game to Chris Godwin in the slot. So Dortch is the slot guy for them. And then I had Jordan Whittington, the guy I talked about earlier for the Rams. They got to throw to somebody. They really like him. He's a rookie out of Texas. So I like both of those guys again. Very, very deep. But we're going with Gesicki, but keep an eye on those other 2.
I had Brock Bowers as one of mine, but he's, I think at this point, over 80%.
He might be the best tight end in the league already.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
But he's rostered. Alec Pierce, only 29% rostered. So yeah. I went with him. All right, guys, that's it. That's week number 2 in the books. Week number 3 coming at you. Have fun watching all the games. We are the Fantasy Football Fools, thefantasyfootballfools.com, Fantasy Fools Pod on X. Hit us up. Let us know what you want us to talk about on these shows. Until then, don't be a fool.
Stay cool.
Week 3, Thursday. Go Jets!
I think you're in trouble with that call, man.